Manténgase en la sintonía de CKUT, nuestro próximo programa, The International Radio Report.
Stay tuned to CKUT, next, The International Radio Report.
Tengan todos ustedes un feliz domingo.
Have a happy Sunday.
This is John Fisher of North Chelmsford, Massachusetts. I listen to the International Radio Report every Sunday morning at 10:30 on CKUT 90.3 FM in the fair city of Montreal.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the International Radio Report for Sunday, January the 23rd, 2022. My name's Sheldon, and Jill is with me as usual. We thank you for joining us here on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal. Our weekly half-hour visit with you, 30 minutes of news and information from the world of radio, from here in Montreal, across the country, and around the world. Our email address, if you'd like to reach us, is radioreport@yahoo.com. We're live streaming and archived at ckut.ca, the website of the CKUT radio station. Our Facebook group, International Radio Report, has a bunch of new members again this week. We're over that 700 mark, 704 members. We welcome Deba, Somnath, Stefan, Bart, Bruce, Jose, Tom, and Kristen all joining this week. Thank you all for coming on board with us. And if you want to catch our show on YouTube, you can do so on our YouTube channel, International Radio Report, where we have 560 subscribers at this point. So lots of different ways for you to track down our show, either live, over the air, at your leisure, through the other sources available to you. We have a lot of information to get to this week, so we'll get things going right away with the announcement of the 35th annual NASWA Winter SWL Festival. 35 years, I can't believe it. It seems like it only started a couple years ago. It is the largest gathering of radio listeners, shortwave listeners, medium-wave DXers, ham radio operators, what have you, in the Northeast. And unfortunately, again, this year, due to COVID restrictions, it will not be a in-person event, as it has been for most of the 35 years. But it will be virtual, and everyone is welcome to participate. All of the details of the event are on the website, swlfest.com, swlfest.com. It will be taking place on March the 4th and 5th of 2022. The website will eventually have all of the details, including registration information and what have you. The event will be conducted on Zoom. All of the sessions except the Saturday evening shortwave shindig are one-hour presentations, but they could vary a little bit, a little shorter or longer, depending on the subject matter. Our own CIDX Club will once again be hosting the virtual hospitality suite throughout the weekend. John and Richard, who are the two organizers of the event, have put together a tentative schedule. There may be a few changes, but we'll run through it very quickly. You'll see that it covers a lot of different subjects. These are forums that are put together by different volunteers. So starting on Friday, the first one will be setting up your monitoring post, or how to wire yourself into a corner without really trying. And that'll be presented by Tom Swisher. Skip Airy will be presenting famous hams past and present. Larry will be taking care of the Free Radio Forum, which is a sort of a summary of the year's pirate radio activity, which is always quite interesting. The Friday evening event is the Shortwave Shindig, Saturday UTC time. It's hosted by David Gorin, and they'll be doing a lot of different stuff. It runs for a couple hours on Friday evening. The details we'll have available for you. And it will be rebroadcast, or live broadcast actually, on WRMI for that event as well. So that gives other people a chance to hear it as well. Then into the next day, What's up at the European DX Council? Chrissy Brand, the Secretary General of the European DX Council, will be hosting that. There's going to be a session on European DXing. The host has not been determined yet. Then a radio journey across seven continents with Bruce Churchill. Back to the Classic Receivers by Dan Robinson, who's a huge radio collector, and he'll be looking back at some of the classic receivers. I'll be doing the In Memoriam ceremony, where we recognize those in our hobby and notable broadcasters who passed away over the last year. And the final event, Gilles and I will be hosting a forum called The Radio Hobby, The Changing State of What We Do. So it's a full schedule, lots of events, always a great time. Check out the website, swlfest.com, for all the details as they become available. And we'll have reminders on the show for you each week leading up to the event.
Yep, please do join, because last year it was a lot of fun. And I'm sure it's going to be as fun, if not more, this year. So we have a story from the CBC. Carol Off stepping down as host of CBC's Radios As It Happens. This is by Sheena Goodyear, CBC Radio. When Carol Off first decided to stop globetrotting and start hosting a radio show from a studio in Toronto, she says her friends were really dubious. After all, the veteran CBC journalist had spent much of her career in the 1990s and 2000s in the field, reporting the news from all over the world. "I was a wild animal, and I was never going to be a house cat," Hoff said. But both she and her friends were surprised to find that she really enjoyed hosting. "It's just the world brought to me instead of having to go to the world. It just became my favorite job ever." Now she's leaving her favorite job behind. Hoff is stepping down as host of As It Happens, CBC Radio's flagship evening current affairs show, after nearly 16 years of interviews marked by both doggedness and empathy. "It's time to move on," she said. She will host her final program on February 25th before moving on to work on a new summer series for the CBC. As It Happens will continue with a rotating cast of guest hosts as CBC Radio searches for Off's successor. Susan Margetti, General Manager, CBC News, Current Affairs and Local, says Off will still be telling stories this summer in a new series, the details of which will be announced later. So that's a big move. I mean, As It Happens is probably one of the most popular programs on the CBC.
Yeah, it's listened to not just here in Canada, but I know a lot of people in the U.S. that pick it up online, and I'm sure listeners around the world will stream it if they can hear it. It's a great program every weekday evening on CBC Radio, so you can check out As It Happens, and we'll wait to see who they pick as the new co-host for their show. We have an update to a story we had a little while ago about a station out in Cache Creek, Alberta, that had been vandalized. So the update comes from Barbara Roden, the Ashcroft Cache Creek Journal. Offers of assistance coming into Cache Creek radio station. Following news that radio station CFMA in Cache Creek has been off the air since mid-November due to vandalism, offers of support as well as cash donations have been coming in to the Ash Creek TV Society, which operates the station. "Some in-kind offers have reduced the required budget for repairs quite a bit," says Society President Heidi Roy. "Pattison Media and Stingray Radio has stepped forward and offered their technicians once we get new equipment, and it offered us loaner equipment if it takes us a while to get permanent equipment. The Society has budgeted $10,000 for the total cost of repairs to the transmitter, other components, and the building, which has been reduced from an earlier estimate by in-kind donations. Associated Electric in Ashcroft has offered to do electrical work for us, and people have offered their carpentry skills. The main holdup right now is finding a sturdy door and gaining access to the site. The snow is making the tower inaccessible at the moment. It's up a dirt road near the golf course. Someone barely made it up before Christmas to measure for the door, and it's worse now. Until we get the repairs to the building done, we can't proceed with equipment or electrical restoration. The Society has also received $1,800 in donations so far. Roy said that donations were gaining momentum before the Christmas break, which has slowed things down. She adds that she hopes donations will start up again now that the holidays are over. We sent out letters to local organizations, and some groups have said that they might donate or do advertising, but they weren't meeting again until the new year, and some groups might not be meeting because of COVID restrictions. So at least things are looking forward, and it looks like the station is getting a lot of assistance from community and businesses and other broadcasters. So we hope that they will get that station back on the air, serving the community once again.
Yep, definitely some good news, because we did have quite a few listeners giving us feedback and being a little mad at what had happened to that station. So really good news that it's eventually going to be back on the air and working again.
Next, we have some news from Dan, who runs the really great Facebook page, the Canadian Radio News Facebook page, which you might like to check out. We get a lot of information from that page as well. He has news of a new Canadian radio forum. Longtime CRN contributor Brian Cook has created a new website that discusses radio and some TV news from across Canada. There will be posts made by Brian, as well as the awesome members he's hoping will join the site. It will even have a spot on there for podcasts, online radio stations, and Sirius XM. Although Brian's new radio forum is called Canadian Radio News, it is technically not affiliated with the Canadian Radio News Facebook site. He says, good luck with your new venture, Brian. He hopes that people will go and visit and participate in this new forum. It's always good to find these resources online, especially for people like us that like to go and get you know, some stories that we may not have come across otherwise. So we'll put a link up to the new group, and if you're interested in joining up with it, I'm sure they'd appreciate some new members in there. And you can contribute material yourself if you have an interest in what's going on in the media in Canada.
Now, what is happening with our sun? Well, first, we have an update on the solar cycle. The update states that the solar cycle is still rising at a much faster pace than was predicted. So we are looking good to have maybe a much bigger maximum than we thought we would have. The predictions were of a very small solar cycle, pretty much like the last one we had. But it seems that now it might be actually much bigger. So this is going to be an interesting thing to look at in the next few years for propagation and what it's going to do to radio listening. We had this week quite active week with a lot of M flares coming out of the sun. There were some radio blackouts that came with that because of these flares. But we are now waiting for some possible CMEs, coronal mass ejections, from the flares that could actually reach us today or tomorrow. So this is something to look at. At the same time, we also have a coronal hole that is sending out some solar wind, and that could reach us around January the 25th. Now, there's a few sunspot groups on the sun that are kind of moving off the sun. Sun's still quite active, sunspot number 60. The solar flux around 100. Things will be probably a little rocky with the CMEs that could actually brush the geomagnetic field and create some distortion in our radio listening. But there's one way to know if things are happening and what is happening out there. It's to turn on that radio and listen.
Hey there, I'm Paul Kaltenbach, live in Hell's Kitchen, New York City, and you're tuned to International Radio Report, 30 minutes of news about radio on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Now we have a story that, you know, from time to time we have these stories where the BBC funding problem is happening, and here the story is the BBC license fee to be abolished in 2027 and funding frozen. So this is by Jim Watterson, The Guardian, of January 17, 2022. The BBC will have to make deep cuts to its program budgets after the government said the broadcaster's funding would be frozen for the next 2 years with the license fee abolished completely in 2027. The Culture Secretary, Nadine Dorries, is expected to confirm that the cost of an annual license required to watch live television and access iPlayer services will remain at £159 until 2024, before rising slightly for the following 3 years. She said this would be the end of the current license fee funding model for the BBC, raising doubts about the long-term financial future and editorial independence of the public service broadcaster under a conservative government. She says that this license fee announcement will be the last, the days of the elderly being threatened with prison sentences and bailiffs knocking on the door are over. Time now to discuss and debate new ways of funding, supporting, and selling great British content. The BBC will have to negotiate with the government over an entirely new funding model when their final license fee funding deal expires in 2027, with potential options including a subscription service, part privatization, or direct government funding. The BBC has faced repeated deep real-term spending cuts since the start of the Tory Liberal Democrat coalition government in 2010, with the Conservatives forcing the broadcaster to pay for free licenses for over 75s, then blaming it when they took the benefit away. There has been similar speculation before. There are very good reasons for investing in what the BBC can do for the British public and the creative industries and the UK around the world. Anything less than inflation would put unacceptable pressure on the BBC finances after years of cuts. You know, this is an ongoing problem for a lot of broadcasters. We've seen cuts here on the CBC in Canada. The BBC has had cuts in the past. More cuts, it seems possible for the future. That fee going away for the license, it certainly creates an uncertain future for the BBC. And this is where I always have a problem when we start taking these broadcasters and thinking that it's only a money thing. I mean, these are amazing sources of news and information. And I think that anything that is a big broadcaster like the BBC, like the CBC, should not be thought of as how much it costs, but more of all that comes from their programs, their news, and their services, which is much more important.
I'm sure there's a lot of people that probably don't even know that people in the UK have to pay a license fee every year, you know, to watch television, basically. It's, you know, it's kind of an archaic system by the sound of it, but it does exist, and it brings in an awful lot of money that can then be redistributed to the broadcaster. But with that dropping out of there, they're going to have to make do with more than likely a lot less money in their budgets. So they don't directly indicate here anything about BBC World Service on the radio, for example. They are leaning this more towards television, I think, but it's all in the same pot at the end of the day. The BBC is handed, you know, a big chunk of money, and they go about their business from there, dividing it up into the different services. So we'll see how it affects things like the radio broadcasting internationally as well. We move down to Australia next, and the Australian Labor Party promises $2 million for shortwave radio restoration. This is a surprise story. And the source is a bit of a surprise story. It comes from the Texan Radio Australia News. And I looked at the Texan Radio website, and they have a news page where they're actually putting up stories like this. So we thank them for doing that. This one is really a, and we've sort of tied this into what's going on in the South Pacific as well, which we'll get to in a moment. A controversial decision in 2017 led to the ABC turning off its domestic shortwave radio service, much to the disappointment and anger of remote listeners. Its reasoning for turning off the shortwave broadcast was that it would only affect a small number of listeners, and in fact save operating costs of $1.9 million, which could be reinvested in providing infrastructures of digital services located in popular regional areas. Many industry groups were outraged, particularly in remote areas of the Northern Territory, where residents had come to rely on the service as their only regular source of news and entertainment. In February 2011, Cyclone Yasi crossed the Australian east coast between Cairns and Townsville, causing enormous damage and knocking out all local communications. Radio Australia carried ABC Queensland coverage of the storm, which was extraordinary. The ABC shortwave transmitter at Shepparton, Victoria, was activated on 9710 and 6080 kHz, and the giant curtain array antenna pointed to far north Queensland. This broadcast provided emergency information, sheltering information, updates, and calls from listeners in the midst of the storm. The enormous signal could easily be heard in Sydney and Brisbane on any shortwave radio. The ABC expansion of its digital platforms in capital cities provided no benefit to those Australians living in remote areas, and the withdrawal of domestic shortwave services has been seen as a real kick in the guts. What people take for granted in the cities is a luxury for those living in the bush, who rely on the HF shortwave radio services as a reliable source of news, weather, information, and entertainment. There are numerous examples where ABC domestic shortwave has been the only source of information to remote area residents during a weather-related emergency, said Gary Kratt, owner of Texan Radios Australia, who made a submission to the government at the time. The Federal Labor Party has announced that if elected next year, they will provide the ABC with $2 million in funding to re-establish the shortwave funding across the territory. Federal Minister for Solomon Luke Gosling mentioned that he was approached by community groups who were angry at the axing of ABC shortwave and said, when shortwave was cut, there was a lot of angst, so it will be a good thing to bring it back to the people on the land and waters connected. Many thousands will benefit from this bringing back of shortwave. Hear, hear. We agree 100%.
Absolutely.
But I think there's more fuel to add to this fire now with what's taken place in the last week. And that, of course, is the volcanic explosion near Tonga. You know, looking at this from our point of view, we think Tonga could really have benefited by Radio Australia's shortwave service being on right now.
Absolutely.
Because they've basically lost everything. Their local radio station's TV is off. This undersea cable that was severed has cut off telephone communications, cellular, all sorts of services, internet. They have to rely on radio again.
I think here we have to say kudos to Radio New Zealand, that when Radio Australia actually was shut down, Radio New Zealand kind of took upon its shoulders the fact that they would become the new source of the Pacific. And it's really nice.
It is, and that they had the facility to be able to do it. You know, unfortunately, I think in Australia, some of the equipment transmitter sites have been dismantled already. Yeah. So there may be some left over, but it would have been nice to be able to fire something up and get some more news out on shortwave. In the meantime, though, we found that a community broadcaster in Brisbane, Australia, which is, we found it is an internet-only service, though, an online station called Pacifica TV and Radio, is bringing information and support to Tongans outside of Tonga around the world as they wait for news of their families and homeland. So they have a website, Pacifica with a K, not with a C, PacificaTVandRadio.com, where you can find out more information about the station. But we recommend going to their YouTube channel, which is also called Pacifica TV and Radio. And you were just checking it out before the show, that they seem to be live streaming through their YouTube channel.
Yep, they have about 10 to 12 hours of live stream every day from what I've seen on their YouTube channel.
Okay, so that might be a good place to go to get at least information that, that people from Tonga who are living elsewhere around the world are using to try to get information in and out from Tonga. Unfortunately, they are left with Radio New Zealand. Their local station, they have a 1017 AM, 1017 kilohertz station in Tonga. That has apparently been reactivated. but only over the air. There was a live stream that, of course, with internet and services and what have you down, that is not functioning. But at least it seems that they've got the local station back on the air again.
So with what's happening in Russia, we have news of pirates that spammed an infamous Soviet shortwave radio station with memes. This is by Janice Rose and Joseph Cox via Vice. Pirates hijacked an infamous shortwave radio station, which dates from the Soviet era, but it is still online today, and use it to broadcast everything from Gannon style to audio that draws memes when inspected under a spectrum analyzer. For decades, the number station known as UVB-76, or the buzzer, has emitted an enigmatic series of beeps and a voice reading numbers and names in what people suspect is a long-running communications method for Russian intelligence. Since the broadcast is public, pirates are able to use their software-defined radio, the SDRs, transmitters to effectively flood the frequencies with noise and memes. The recent barrage of attacks on their stations come as Russia prepares to invade neighboring Ukraine, where radio enthusiasts speculate at least some of the pirate broadcasts originate. Number stations are shortwave radio stations known for their mysterious and cryptic broadcasts, long believed to be a method used by spy agencies to communicate with covert operatives. They typically involve voice reading off sequences of numbers or timed pulses that can be decoded into messages. While many stations have become obsolete or redundant, several broadcasts remain on the air, much of the fascination of amateur radio hobbyists. So there's also another Reddit post that shows images, uploaded images that said the UVB-76 broadcast of a V for Vendetta mask. Another broadcast included a troll face meme. And so there's a lot of these little things happening. And if you have an SDR and hear the buzzer, it's nice to take a look at it because it's very interesting. And online SDRs also can be used to see these memes in the waterfall.
And the frequency for the UVB-76?
4625 kilohertz upper sideband.
And check that out. Some strange things going on, as if the station wasn't strange enough.
So we have ham radio contests.
Yeah, we'll run through four contests coming up for next weekend. The first is a CQ160 meter contest. It is CW only, 160 meter band, sponsored by CQ Magazine. It runs from 2200 Zulu January 28th to 2200 Zulu January the 30th.
We have the REF-HF Championship Contest, CW, 06 Zulu, January 29 to 18 Zulu, January 30th, sponsored by Réseau des Émetteurs Français. So the objective, French amateurs work as many amateur stations in as many of the French departments, 97 metropolitan departments, overseas territories and DXCC countries of the world as possible. Foreign amateurs work as many French stations in as many of the 97 metropolitan departments and overseas French territories as possible. Bands 80, 40, 20, 15, and 10 meters, CW only.
Next is the UBA DX contest, single sideband, sponsored by the Royal Belgian Amateur Radio Union. 1300 Zulu January 29th to 1300 Zulu January 30th, bands 80 through 10 meters, and it is single sideband or phone only.
And we have the Winter Field Day, 19 Zulu January 29th to 19 Zulu January 30th, sponsored by the Winter Field Day Association. Bands, all amateur bands, HF, VHF, and UHF, except 12, 17, 30, and 60 meters. Modes, any mode that can faithfully transmit the exchange intact without a conversation table. CW, SSB, AM, FM, D-Star, C4, FM, DMR, Packet, PSK, SSTV, RTTY, Olivia, Satellite, and more. Note, FT8 and FT4 is not accepted.
All right, so lots of activity going on, a couple big ones there that you may want to participate in. Always fun to try the 160-meter band, too, so yep. Check that one out. That's going to do it for us today. Lots of information. You can go check out some of these stories on our Facebook page and listen to our show again on our YouTube channel if you like, International Radio Report. And we'll come back again next week with lots more information for you. We thank you for tuning in. You've been listening to the International Radio Report on CKUT 90.3 FM in Montreal.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, le, 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 yeah, le, le, yeah.